Sarah C.
And I'm Sarah D. You're listening to the Art Attack Podcast.
Each episode, we tackle a new work of art in Washington, D.C.
We hope our podcast encourages you to look at art in a new way.
When it comes to art, we're serious.
As an art attack. We are currently standing amidst the piece by Ai Weiwei at the Sackler Gallery, and it's a sculpture that has been created out of different pieces of ironwood. They're all joined together with dowels, and it's a very large, like, room-sized kind of sculpture.
And it's called Fragments is the name of the piece. It's from 2005. It's here at the Sackler in advance of a big Ai Weiwei retrospective that's going to be at the Hirshhorn and is the first time this piece has been shown in America. If you live in a faraway city, I'm really sorry, but this is the only place you get to see it.
Yay. Yay, GC. The pieces are all, like, different shapes and sizes, and some of them have little details, like embellishments, little carvings in them, which is a result of them having been recovered from their former existence.
They were all pieces from temples in China. One of the crucial things about the piece is that the form that they take is the map of China. And there's even, like, two little stools joined together off on the side that are supposed to be Taiwan. And there's one big, big pillar that stands up above, high above the rest, and that is Beijing.
Yeah, but which you can't tell at all from ground level. Like, you can only tell that from looking above, and there's no mechanism for you to get above this piece.
And we only know that because on the label panel, there's a small map that shows you what it looks like.
Don't you wish that we could go and, like, remember when with Roof where we went up and looked down at it?
Yes.
I feel like that would really provide a different and interesting perspective on it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I wish we could do that. The other thing, and as Sarah mentioned, you know, there's no nails at all. It's all joined together using traditional joinery methods. So you can see a lot of pegs and posts sticking out to keep everything together.
The way that Ai Weiwei's described it is that it's an irrational structure, which, if that helps you to envision it, I mean, it kind of makes sense. That helped me to envision what it might be like, because it is a structure, but it's freestanding, but it's not, like, there's no right angles to it, mm-hmm. and it has, like, an organic component, but it also has, like, a Lincoln Log kind of, like, weird component to it, too.
That is a good first reference to Lincoln Log. No, I definitely, it does have an organic feel. You know, one of the first things I said was that it actually almost looks like they're trees again. Like, he's sort of turned the wood back into wood, you know, into trees, which I think is kind of neat, the way they come up and branch out. Mm-hmm. So it's like being in a forest.
Yeah, which actually kind of brings me back to the Yoko Ono piece, which is like, remember the paper? We talked about this during that piece about the Japanese tradition of tying paper to trees. Mm-hmm. It's like the wood going back to the wood. And this is like the wood going back to the tree.
Yeah, taking it even a step further.
Yeah,
very cool. Other references that I have, because the wood comes from temples, I do feel like I'm in a temple. But I don't know, that's not a very good reference.
Well, it feels kind of like a sacred space, I guess.
Yeah. Any other references?
This Brazilian artist, Enrique Oliveira, who also used, like, reclaimed material from the Brazilian rainforest. So he salvaged this bark and created these structures that you could walk under and around. So it reminds me of that very much.
No, that's a good reference, yeah. We're so global. Well, let's talk about the fact that Ai Weiwei is a Chinese artist. You probably know him because he was one of the designers, not the architect. He worked with the architecture firm to design the what was called the Bird's Nest during the Beijing Olympics.
But then he disassociated from the Olympics, like, very vocally.
So he's quite prolific and quite famous in China, but is also considered political and controversial and is now under house arrest in China. So all of these pieces, these fragments of these temples that he found, he was noticing a lot of wood coming up on, like, salvage yard sites and just in his comings and goings. He started collecting it.
Not at the time having a specific purpose for it, right? He was just kind of picking them up because they were on the market and available.
Exactly. And the reason they were on the market and available is because these temples were being destroyed and razed to make room for all of China's growth. And so by using them and putting them in this piece, he's criticizing the, you know, Chinese government for not preserving its heritage. He's not under house arrest for making this piece, but certainly China is not happy with him for being an outspoken and vocal critic of the things that they're doing.
Right, and not going about it in a responsible way mm-hmm. that is sufficiently mindful of, you know, preserving your cultural heritage, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. If you didn't have any sort of context or reference for it, it just would be this beautiful structure, irrational structure. But once you get into it and once you dig a little deeper and find out what I was trying to do, there's a hint of a message there.
Yeah. It's an irrational structure, much as, you know, like maybe he's saying that China is sort of irrational in how it's going about its growth right now, or just as a country. I don't know. Or China as a rational structure. Go.
Exactly. He's not just creating a dialogue with the viewer. He's creating a dialogue about culture and society. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really, it makes this so more vibrant to me.
Mm-hmm. And you can appreciate it from the political standpoint. I really just respond to it on an aesthetic level. You know, you can make a brilliant statement, but if it doesn't work aesthetically, then, you know, I'm not as interested.
Absolutely.
Right? And this is just so cool. It's like so purposefully irrational. Mm-hmm. Like each joint is the way that it is for a reason, and not just to create the outline of China, because it's a three-dimensional thing. It kind of weaves in and out. Like, you could just sort of lay down logs in the shape of China, and that would be nowhere near as interesting and complex as this thing is.
Yeah. And also, you get this sense of, like, well, everything is specific, right? You get this feeling that, like, well, if they didn't have that log, the whole thing would fall apart, you know, or this mm-hmm. piece, like, it...
It's totally, each piece is totally interdependent and vital to it standing as a structure.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that also that art, that sense of intent yet irrational, right? There's a juxtaposition going on. Mm-hmm. There's a yin and yang.
Mm.
one of the things, when I just said yin and yang, you know, I feel like we haven't done a non-Western artist in a while, and I'm probably making that up. I feel like Numasa Tony is like the last one, and maybe that's a reference that I have too, is because the Numasa Tony piece also referenced the past and the history and the country that he...
And he used salvaged materials.
I feel like the non-Western artists that we do, or maybe just the pieces that we choose of them, the connection to place and to the country. You know, even Yoko Ono, like you said, had that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And it feels like... while it criticizes the, you know, Chinese government, it's very loving towards... Mm-hmm. the country.
Yes. Right.
Celebrating the crazy mishmash that's like, you know, going on in China right now.
It is China.
Like the Chinese people.
Right.
And Chinese heritage, it's celebrating.
Right.
While at the same time subtly making a dig at the government that's sort of, you know, not doing what it could be doing to best, you know, preserve that.
Right. And making way for all this growth that is a good thing for the people of China. Mm-hmm. But how and why and in what fashion.
Yeah. But then, I mean, there's this like level of irony, because it's like heritage that's kind of not been preserved, but then if it had been preserved, we wouldn't have this awesome piece.
That is true. Even though I, you know, he is a non-Western artist in the sense that he is from the East, his genre and his, like, this is a conceptual piece of art, right? And so conceptual art is a very Western.
And he studied in New York.
Exactly.
Sorry, I totally cut you.
No, that's fine. No. Eastern artist working in a Western. You could almost call him a Western artist because of the type of art that he produces. Someone like Namas Tony, someone like Anish Kapoor, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reference to the
cultural heritage of the place where they come from.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
My takeaway is just going back to like the appreciation of the structure itself and how the pieces rely on each other and lean on each other and they hold each other up. And there's something about that like that I reflect on that's really, really cool. I just enjoy the tension that's created through the way that the pieces are interjoined.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say that my takeaway is that idea of art history is history, you know? And in 50 years, this piece will still stand as a testament to what was happening in China at the time, and still be beautiful, and still be worthy of a museum because of the elegance and grace and complexity that this piece embodies.